Diego Lasco is here, and what a week. We got Euro 2020 and Copa America semifinals, and of course the end of the week looking to the finals as well. This episode is packed. Fabrizio Romano talks to us about Euro 2020 stars that could be shaking up this summer. Also some other stories, including those who are moving, Sergio Ramos, Hakimi, of course the announcements for PSG as well. And we have Jimmy Conrad in the second part of this episode to give our Euro 2020 betting tips and, of course, Copa America. I told you it was a packed one. Diego Lasco begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Diego Lasco. Another week, and what a busy week. And we begin, of course, with Fabrizio Romano. Jimmy Conrad will join us later on for Euro 2020 and Copa America betting tips. But we begin with Fab. Hermano, Fabrizio, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Hello, guys. Really happy to be together. Looking forward for this week. It's so important for Italians, and not only, of course, but me as Italian, I'm really buzzing to see what happens against Spain. And it's really important on the transfer market, because now we have big moves going on. Finally, Sancho official, but many others to come soon. So really looking forward to it.
It's a very busy week, as you mentioned, Italy with that huge game against Spain. Jimmy Conrad will be coming later with some betting tips, but Fabrizio, you must be so happy about Italy and how close they are. We've been very cautious about Italy, but right now, this ultimately, you would think it's the toughest test yet, right? Against Spain, who's doing so well.
Yes, 100%. Yes, to be honest, I was not so confident about the team because, you know, we don't have international players, I would say, apart of Bonucci and Verratti and Chiellini, but he's now 37. But they're doing something incredible. The team spirit, the quality of the play style is incredible what Italy are doing. And so really congrats to Roberto Mancini for the huge job he did with this team. Remember that we were out of the World Cup. We have to remember about it. The team was struggling. We were terrible. And then Roberto Mancini arrived and changed everything with maybe many of the same players. So look how a manager could change everything for a national team. So congrats to Italy and to Roberto Mancini in particular.
Absolutely. 32 matches unbeaten. Unbelievable. All right, let's keep going because, hey, also, by the way, everybody, Fabrizio and I share a common interest in my absolute hero right now. If you're watching this on YouTube, you know that I'm wearing Peru right now. By the time you listen to this or watch this, hopefully you're also paying attention to Copa America, which Peru plays Brazil. And one of the Peruvians' heroes is Gianluca Lapadula. Lapagol, we call him in Peru. Fabrizio, he is an absolute hero. He has taken Peru by storm. He is so passionate. He's born in Italy, born in Turin, but he has a Peruvian parent, and that's why he can represent Peru. Fabrizio, we love him in Peru. We love him. And so for an Italian, I want to thank you for giving us Gianluca Lapadula. A great player, huh? A great player.
He's really, really good. He was playing with AC Milan. He had the opportunity to play with AC Milan. Then it was not the same team we say today. AC Milan were really struggling in this moment, so it was not just up to Lapadula. But he's always been one of the best strikers in the middle top clubs here in Italy. So always fighting with clubs in complicated situations sometimes. But he's always been focused on football, so professional, so passionate, as you said. So he's so South American and Peruvian in this way, because I know why you love him. And also in Italy, we call him Lapagol because he's always scoring. He's always fighting for the team, with the team. So he's amazing. And I'm really curious to see where he's going, because I think he will move. He will play in the Serie A next season. So I see him moving from his club, Benevento, in the second division. Let's see. I will let you know.
Yeah, well, listen, just like Jack Grealish, you let me know straight away. Lapadula, I need to know straight away.
Yes, in your top 11, yes.
And by the way, everybody, as Fab was mentioning, Lapadula, Benevento, who got relegated, of course. So it's a very, I don't see him playing in Serie B. Fab, you think said, yeah, I'm hearing rumors of other clubs are interested, but we'll have to see. I mean, he is over 30 years old, so that's something to take into account. But I'm hoping he lands somewhere good. Hey, and listen, Aston Villa, I know that you need a backup for Ollie Watkins. Gianluca Lapadula right here.
Would be your dream.
Oh, forget about it. I would move back to England if that happened. Unbelievable. Anyway. Let's not make this a full Lapadula episode, everybody. We have a very, very good episode today. And let's begin. And by the way, if you go to cbsports.com, you can read Fabrizio, latest Here We Go article, which includes a lot of Euro 2020 stars, could be shaking things up this summer. We have talked extensively about Harry Kane and Jack Grealish, so you should really know the deal there. On one side, Harry Kane, obviously a bit denied. Fabrizio from Tottenham to Man City, and Jack Grealish, Villa still hoping they're going to come to an agreement for a new contract. Pep interested, but nothing yet after Euro 2020. So we can move on from that perspective, right? I mean, that's pretty much where we're at.
Yes, the situation is still the same for Jack Grealish and Harry Kane. And I think it's also important to understand that these players are playing at the Euro, so they want to be only focused on the Euros on England, and then we will see what happens. But also look at Jadon Sancho. They found an agreement with Borussia Dortmund, but the player is not talking a lot about Manchester United. He wants to be focused on the Euros, and immediately after, of course, he will enjoy his Manchester United move.
So, and obviously, Fab is here every week, so we'll be able to update you, and of course with emergency episodes. But let's talk about some players that, we haven't talked about enough, and we probably should. Manuel Locatelli. We've been talking about Italy doing so well. The Sassuolo star, such a great player. What's the latest on him and his future with Sassuolo and beyond?
Yes, it's an interesting situation with Manuel Locatelli, because some days ago, the CEO of Sassuolo, Giovanni Carnevale, here in Italy, was saying that Arsenal made an official proposal, and from Arsenal's side, they are denying this official proposal. I think it's normal, because when you know that the player is not 100% convinced about the move, you are not going to confirm anything. So it's part of the poker game of the transfers. But Arsenal have an interest in Manuel Locatelli. I can say 100%. They like the player. They love the player. They see him as perfect to play in the Premier League. So Arsenal are really interested in Manuel Locatelli. And in my personal opinion, he would be perfect for Premier League. So I'm not surprised, because as you see in the Euros, but in general, this guy is really, really good. But what's happening? Why Locatelli is not convinced? Because he wants to join Juventus. His dream is to join Juventus, and Juventus are currently negotiating with Sassuolo. There is still no agreement between the two clubs, because Juventus are proposing some players as part of the deal. Sassuolo are asking around 40 million euro to sell Locatelli this summer, and my feeling is they are 100% selling Locatelli, because the player wants to go. But with Juventus, the agreement is not completed yet. This week, there will be a new meeting between Sassuolo and Juventus to see if they can reach an agreement, if they can get closer to agree on Locatelli. But for sure, the player wants to wait for Juventus, and that's why Arsenal now, they are just waiting to see what happens between Sassuolo and Juventus, and just in case they will be ready to jump in a negotiation if Locatelli will change his mind. But at the moment, he wants to join Juventus and he wants to play Champions League. That's why for Arsenal it's not so easy, and they are going for Lokonga from Anderlecht.
Wow, interesting. And of course, it's a new project under Max Allegri, so that will be a very interesting plan for anybody that joins Juventus at this point. All right, moving on, but staying in Serie A, but staying in Euro 2020 as well, Mikael Damsgaard, Sampdoria, 21-year-old star, they paid only, 7 million for him, and now obviously he's worth way more. What's the latest on him?
Good talent, really. We saw him in Serie A last season, and he's been really good, but he was not always playing as a starter. Here at the Euros, he's been incredible, one of the best young talents, absolutely. And that's why many clubs are interested. In Italy, we have rumors about AC Milan, but also Tottenham have been scouting this guy for a long time. When Mourinho was the manager, they had him in the scouting list because he's always been appreciated. But the president of Sampdoria, Ferrero, just said some days ago, I want 50 million euro for Damsgaard. So I think it will be really difficult to sign him this summer. I think the real price will be around 35, 40 if you negotiate, if you start to open talks to sign this player. But it's really difficult. So we will see if some club from maybe the Premier League, because in my opinion, it would be perfect to play the Premier League, will try this kind of deal. At the moment, it's still quiet, but I think it could be one of the players to keep an eye on in the coming weeks.
Well, Tottenham's Pierre-Emil Højbjerg maybe can do something about this and, persuade Damsgaard. But we'll see what happens there. Hey, listen, let's keep going with stars in Euro 2020. Pau Torres, very good center back from Spain. We actually have talked about him even before Euro 2020. He's a very good talent. What's the latest with him and his future with Villarreal?
Yes, he is a release clause, and that's why he's a player we need to keep an eye on, because when you have a release clause in 3 weeks and in 4 weeks, everything could be completed. Also, if some club has not been rumored about Pau Torres, I will keep an eye on Manchester United. Their priority is Rafa Varane, but at the moment, it's not like advanced or agreed with Real Madrid. So they have a list for centre backs, and Pau Torres is has always been in this list. His release clause is 65 million euro and not 50. Some reports from Spain were saying 50 is 65 million euro. So we will see if some club will pay this release clause, will try to negotiate with Villarreal. As I said, Manchester United have an interest, but Varane is their priority. And also we have to keep an eye on Spanish clubs, because maybe Barcelona will be looking at a centre-back, not now in the market, because now they need to sell players. They sold Firpo to Leeds. They need to sell some other player like Coutinho and many others because they need to make money. But during the window, keep an eye on Barcelona, Real Madrid, what they want to do with the centre-back. Because, of course, if Varane is leaving Real Madrid, so Pau Torres could be one of the players to keep an eye on during the window.
So you mentioned Manchester United. We've talked about them a lot. And of course, Jadon Sancho, a very good purchase. But I keep hearing Eduardo Camavinga, Fabrizio Romano. I know that also reports are, of course, he'd rather stay in France. So maybe PSG comes in. A very bright future. What's the latest on him? There's a lot going on with him.
Yes, there are a lot of rumors. And what I can say is that Manchester United are really, really interested in Eduardo Camavinga. In the last few days, they had direct contacts for this potential deal. They know that Rennes would be open to negotiate for Camavinga, just because, you know, the situation is on his contract, only 1 year left. So it's a big opportunity for many clubs to sign him as a free agent, potentially from January. But signing him now, Rennes would be open to negotiate around 30, 35 million euro for Eduardo Camavinga. And that's why Manchester United are considering to move immediately this summer to sign the player. He's not directly linked to Pogba. So it's not like Pogba leaving and Camavinga joining. It's Pogba, let's see, but Camavinga talks now going on. We will see what happens, because as you said, Paris Saint-Germain have always been interested in Camavinga, and the player is not in a rush, because when you have this kind of situation, only when you're left on your contract, and also you are one of the best talents in the world, you have not any rush. So that's why Camavinga is so relaxed. But Manchester United are really interested, and so we will see what happens in the next weeks.
All right, well, let's finish up with players that are going to PSG. Sergio Ramos, Hakimi. I mean, they're building a squad here, Fabrizio Romano. If they don't win anything next season, I'm going to be very disappointed in Mauricio Pochettino. I'm unbelievable. But what's the latest on both of them, specifically Hakimi? Because that's the one that's very close to being announced, correct?
Yes, it's just a matter of days, hours to see the official announcement of Achraf Hakimi joining Paris Saint-Germain. He's now in Paris, set to sign his contract for 5 years with Paris Saint-Germain. Inter are going to receive 70 million euro, add-ons included, for Achraf Hakimi. They paid 40, now they will receive around 70. But let me say, what a player. In Serie A, he's been the best right back I remember since Maicon, I would say. So with Maicon and Cafu, wow, maybe the best right back we had in Serie A in the last 20 years. He's been really, really incredible. And that's why Paris Saint-Germain wanted him. Leonardo wanted him. Hakimi wanted Paris Saint-Germain because also Chelsea were interested. They never made an official bid, but they were interested. But Hakimi wanted to join Paris Saint-Germain. And so now it's just a matter of days to announce the deal. Sergio Ramos, this week, the deal will be completed with medicals, with signing contracts for 2 years. So they are preparing everything. But Sergio Ramos is also one step away from being announced as new Paris Saint-Germain player, and they are doing something incredible, because after the Euros they will announce also Donnarumma as new signing, as free agent leaving AC Milan. What a player too, because I know Paris Saint-Germain fans have Keylor Navas as an idol, but Donnarumma is one for the present and for the future, because he's fantastic. So I think they are doing something like video games when they are signing players this summer.
They're playing Football Manager, Fabrizio Romano. Yeah.
Yes, it's something like video games. So I'm curious to see what's next for Paris Saint-Germain, because they are doing all in for this market and they want to win everything next season. So I'm really curious to see what's next. I would say Moise Kean from Everton, because they want to sign him again on loan in this case.
And Kylian Mbappe, by the way, who's entering the final year of his current contract, apparently he will not renew anything, but he will honor this final contract. Is that what we're believing?
Yes. Also because Paris Saint-Germain at the moment, they want to keep Mbappe. The president, Al Khelaifi, will fight to extend this contract. As you say, at the moment, there is no agreement yet. So the situation is still on the air for Mbappe. But for sure, the president, Al Khelaifi, will try to extend Mbappe contract. And also we have to keep in mind that Real Madrid are looking at the situation. If not for this summer, next one could be the potential summer for Mbappe. We will see.
Well, the transfer madness never stops. And obviously with Euro 2020, even more news. And Fabrizio just gave us so much there. And don't forget to follow him on Twitter, on Instagram, of course, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. Plenty more to come from Fabrizio. And good luck, Fabrizio. Italy against Spain. It's going to be quite a cracking game. My friend, seriously, good luck. It's going to be quite a game. Are you going to be nervous or what? What are you going to watch it, by
the way? Thank you. No, I will be nervous. I will be nervous with my friends. I'm so nervous when I look at my team. So I'm really, really nervous. And they like if I'm playing. So yeah. I stand up and look at the match close to the TV always. So it will be difficult also because we have still to remember that when Spain destroyed us in the final of the Euros. So it's always difficult for us to think about Italy, Spain. But this time seems different. So let's hope.
Hey, listen, nobody sings the national anthem like Italians. Do you guys do it in the living room as well? Like, Peruvians do it. Do you do it as well, right?
We do. I will show you. And one day I will send you the video of how we sing during the semifinals.
Oh, please do. Oh, please do. That will be an exclusive. It will be amazing. I love it. Fabrizio Romano, thank you so much. We're going to come right back with Jimmy Conrad. But Fabrizio, thank you so much, my man.
Thank you. Thank you again. See you soon on Che Golazo on CBS Sports. Enjoy, Jimmy, and see you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Che Golazo. Fabrizio Romano said goodbye, but we welcome Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy C, first off, looking good in your Argentina shirt. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be back on the show with you. I missed you, Luis, after hosting in your stead with Jonathan Johnson. There was a big void in our lives doing that podcast, but you know what? We're back. Reunited and it feels so good.
Well, Jimmy, first of all, thank you so much for doing it today. It was great. I listened to it. It was awesome. And I'm feeling bad because Lisa already hosted. You hosted as well now. And I need to tell my bosses that I'm still worthy. Okay, please, because you guys did such a great job. I appreciate it so much. And yes, I missed you. So welcome back. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, great. Obviously, a nice holiday weekend with probably
America.
You know, I a lot of calories over these types of weekends. So, you know, you got to enjoy it, I suppose. And then you got to work it off for the next 3 weeks. But it's fine. It's fine. Everything's good.
Everything is good, and everything is good right here, everybody. Welcome. As we mentioned at the top of the show and the top of this segment, this is now your Euro 2020 and Copa America semifinals preview. Before we begin, and because today, everybody, by the way, we're just going to preview Italy against Spain, because tomorrow's recap after the game will preview England against Denmark. So today it's Italy, Spain, and we'll have some Copa America content for you today. Jimmy, before we get into it, are you surprised at these teams at Euro 2020, the final four?
Italy, no. England's, given that they had pretty much every game at home, no. I am surprised that they haven't given up a goal yet. I'll say that. Spain, a little bit surprised. I actually thought with Italy and Spain, when I was doing previews way before, you know, months before the Euros and starting to look at the national teams in a more meaningful way, I always just looked at Italy. I looked at Spain, like, ah, they're not ready yet for this Euros. Maybe for the World Cup in a year and a half, 18 months, when they get some of their younger guys to be a little bit more mature, a little bit more experienced. But boy, I was wrong on that. So both of these teams have really leaned on some of their younger players to help them get to this point, and obviously have a nice backbone of experience in the spine of their team. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But the way that Spain have played, I do think, if we're going to get slightly into the preview, I think Italy's got a bit of an edge. But Denmark, for sure, 1,000%, obviously very surprised for a lot of different reasons, the Christian Eriksen situation, and then how they responded to that initially, and the pressure they were under. And then, since they've relaxed a little bit, they have been unbelievable. So you can't sleep on the Danes. So we'll see how this all plays out. But yeah, obviously a few surprises. And then all of a sudden, when I say, hey, Italy, Spain, England are three of the four teams in the semifinals, you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so it's surprising and then not surprising at the same time.
Yeah, and in the manner in which they got here, I guess, surprising as well, because obviously Italy completely dominated, obviously that hiccup against Austria, but they still got through, and England having lost a game, having conceded a goal, etc. And Spain, I mean, they didn't start very well, and look where they are. But we begin with Italy and Spain, and that's the main preview for today, so make sure that you tune in right now. So Italy have only beaten Spain, by the way, in their last 14 games in all competitions. So historically, the Spanish feel very good. However, Jimmy Conrad, this is an Italian side, honestly, that I have never seen before. They are a complete package. What can you tell me about this game?
What I'm going to say about this game is I look at vulnerabilities and how each team could potentially unlock the other team. When I look at Spain, what gives me some cause for concern is when they got pressed, when there was some urgency from the other team. I'm talking about Croatia with 5 minutes left and they give up two goals. I'm looking at the Switzerland game they just had where Switzerland were going after them. And when they did, Spain didn't really have a lot of answers. And when you see that conversely for Italy, the only game where I felt like they were under it a bit was against Austria, and yet they still survived. They didn't break. Where we've seen Spain under the same circumstances break and give up goals, and have now survived a few times to get to this point. Italy did survive the Austria stuff, but they didn't give up a goal at that time, right? So there is, for me, that's a pretty significant distinction in terms of how both of these teams are coping with adversity. But also Spain are going to have a ton of possession. The thing is, when you look at both goals that Italy scored in against Belgium, it's due to some very, very good pressing of the ball. And it was higher up the field. And that led to both. Verratti was involved in the first one in particular, that Barella came in and had some good composure in the box and finished. And then there was some really good pressure, some good team collective pressure. So when I talk about team pressure, everybody, and I'm a big soccer tactic nerd about this stuff, if everybody presses at the right time collectively and moves together, there really is no option for teams to play out of it outside of just hitting the ball up over the top, a real hopeful ball. But if you have a team like Belgium, and you have a team like Spain who are very similar, who take a lot of pride in keeping the ball, you can play into that ego, you can play into that arrogance a little bit, and you can win the ball in very, very good areas for your team, which is very vulnerable areas for the opposing team, and you can exploit them, which is what Italy did to great effect against Belgium. And I see that. I mean, when I think about who I think is going to win this game, that's what I lean into, is this consistency in terms of how the team is moving. And there have been some fantastic performances from Italy. Spain, I feel like, Do we still know their best 11 yet? I don't know, but I think it's pretty clear what Italy's is.
Yeah, very, very good points all around, especially the pressing. So when I was watching that Belgium game, I was very impressed at how Italy collectively were really suffocating them, intoxicating them, especially when they were trying to get out of their own goal. By the way, as well, in terms of semifinals, Italy have reached their 12th semifinal at a major tournament now, with only Germany appearing more. So historically, that's good, right? As well.
That's pretty good, right?
I think that's pretty good. But Spain, you know, make no mistake about it. This is a Spanish side that has won the World Cup. They know exactly how to perform as well. And everything that I'm hearing from the Spanish camp is like they're so happy and lucky to have a manager like Luis Enrique who doesn't have to worry about anything else. There's no club commitment, whatever. And that's the same with Italy and Roberto Mancini. They're both, you know, they're completely dedicated to this setup. I mean, the same thing you can say about Southgate, of course. But I think most specifically with two teams that are still looking to find who they really are, it's really, really key. So, all right, let's talk. Before you want to add anything else, I really want to get into this betting tips because I'm really intrigued to know what the lines are saying in this one, man.
Yeah, so first and foremost, when you look at the lines, and I'm just going to get them up here just so I can give you, find some exotics if you guys want it. But the ones that I'm looking at is Italy to win straight up, plus 140. They have it as a bit of a coin flip, and I think that's kind of disrespectful to Italy.
That's ridiculous.
You know, it's now plus 145, actually. I have these written last night, and it's jumped up a little bit for Italy. So you could get even better value. It's 1.5 to 1. You bet 100 to win 145. I just think Italy are a better team. Now, there is one caveat I should add. Spinazzola, who has been one of the best players, most consistent players for Italy throughout the tournament, tore his Achilles.
Yeah,
so you're going to have, terrible. It's unfortunate as a Roma supporter in particular, because that's where he plays. Emerson is going to come in. Emerson, I don't know how many minutes he played for Chelsea this past season. He's a Champions League winner. You can't take that away from him, but he didn't really contribute. So,
and Spinazzola, as you said, has been one of the players of this tournament. Just unbelievable just how good he was. So sad for him.
And it's just solid. Like, it's one of those things when you're a manager where I'm going to put this guy in this spot and he's going to do this job for me. And then for that player to do that for five straight games in a major tournament is pretty impressive. And that really allows the manager to now look at different options. Hey, maybe he pairs better with Barella, or maybe he plays better with Verratti in front of him. You know what I mean? Then you start to get to tinker a little bit because you trust that player and that player's performances game in and game out. So I'm looking at Italy to win straight up plus 145. And then from there, I encourage you guys to find what you think it's going to be. Is it going to be under 2.5 goals in Italy win? You know, is it going to be the over? Do you think Spain will find the back of the net? That's where I'm going to encourage you to kind of follow your heart with regard to that. I think there's going to be two or three total goals. This is a crazy value you can find on William Hill with this multi-goal tally at the end. If you go two or three total goals, that's plus 100. I know it feels pretty safe, but there are times where I want to give you guys some nice safe ones to consider.
Yeah, this just cover, get your money and go home. That's it.
Two or three total goals is pretty solid because it covers 1-1. Okay. Covers 2-0 either way. And it covers 2-1 either way. Yeah. So it gives you a lot of action and it's still a positive value on William Hill. Those felt like the two safest, but I don't know which version of Spain we're going to see, Luis. I really don't. And the problem that I have with Spain, and the one way that I think you can hurt the Italians, who's still not given up a goal in the first 90 minutes of any of these games, by the way, they had to give up a goal in extra time. But actually they gave one up to Belgium. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Austria game, but yeah, they gave up a penalty. Some people didn't even think that was a penalty. So they haven't given up a goal in the run of play, but I think the one way that you can hurt them is you got to be able to stretch the defense. And when I look at Spain's front three that they're going to probably have, Dani Olmo, who likes to drop in into the midfield and look to combine. You got Ferran Torres, who can do it a little bit. He likes to get in behind. He's the one player that I think is pretty unique. And then you got Alvaro Morata, who can run. He'll run off the shoulders of the center backs, but he's not gonna win a foot race, right? So I, I'm talking about him a foot race with Bonucci and Chiellini, who have a ton of experience. They should be able to outrun him, but they're his teammate, right? They all play at Juventus together. So there's that familiarity that I think kind of plays more into Italy's hands than it does for Spain. They're going to have a ton of possession. We know that. It's just a matter of whether they can create those numerical advantages and wear Italy down. But at this point, Italy are so comfortable with, go ahead, you can have the ball, or we'll high press. I mean, that's what I think makes this Italian team. You said at the very beginning, this is what I think makes them special. is that they can get into that Catenaccio and be hard to break down and have a couple lines that are of four or five that make it very tough to break through. Or they can high press, or they can have a hybrid between the two. That's what I think this what makes this group special, is that they can adjust and be flexible based on the opponent and the situation. And that's why I think Italy's going to get through. I could see 2-0, but if I wanted to show some respect to Spain, I'd throw them a goal at 2-1. Because I think as their desperation comes in, you'll see a different version of Spain when they're kind of trailing. So I don't really know. That's where I get a little tricky, because I can see a 2-0 and I can see a 2-1. Now, the 2-3 total goals covers both of those, but the value, you don't get as much action, as much juice if you win. So that's because of the under versus the over. It gets a little tricky. What are you thinking? I'll look up a couple lines for you.
Well, I think the 2-1 intrigues me, because I do think that Spain, obviously, as we have seen, can score freely, that they haven't yet met, of course, a side so strong defensively as Italy as well. So 2-1 is what I'm leaning for with Italy. I just think that they will probably control both halves too. Like, I think they will lead 1-0 in the first and lead again 1-0 in the second, and then late on, Spain will probably get a goal. The other thing that I think is an advantage is, and we haven't talked about it enough, I guess, or we have, I guess, but worth repeating, is obviously, their center-back pairing, Italy center-back pairing, Chiellini and Bonucci. I mean, listen, they pretty much canceled out Lukaku, like pretty much for the majority of the time. And Spain also play with a system where they only have a sole number 9. So I don't think they're going to, and by the way, a number 9, if it's Morata, who also plays in Italy. So, I don't think, and a teammate, of course, of some of these players, as you mentioned. So that's another thing that worries me for Spain. I'm saying 2-1, especially you're giving me the 3-goal option. I think it's 2-1 Italy. That's what I'm saying.
2-1 Italy. So when I look at William Hill, when you look at the match results and the over-under, the favorite on William Hill is draw and under 2.5 goals plus 250. That's a bit of a surprise. I thought they were going to lean one way or the other. Italy to win and over 2.5 goals plus 333. So bet 100 to win 333 or 10 to win $33. Italy win and under 2.5 goals plus 360. That's Spain are the last two on that one for those. Those are both.
Spinazzola's absence, though, Jimmy, does worry me a bit.
Well, that's because Ferran Torres, who I think is the one player who, let's liken him in some ways to Jeremy Doku for Belgium, who does have a little bit of speed that if you time that run correctly can get in behind. And we saw Ferran Torres do that to great effect against Croatia. So he has that ability and they're looking for him. I guess that's the thing. You can have players make runs until, the cows come home or whatever dumb phrase that popped in my head at that moment. But so bad. How bad is that one? So bad.
No, I think you were right. That's fine. But the cows do want to come home. So
if you have players that aren't looking to make those passes when those guys make runs, then who cares about the run, right? Yeah. So, but Spain do have that. And we already have evidence of them looking for Ferran Torres coming off the shoulder and inside the outside back. But that's where I think the Ferran Torres versus Emerson matchup is very key, I think, in a lot of different ways. And obviously, you're going to want to see how Spinazzola or how they're going to recover without him. I do want to mention, Emerson did come in right away for Spinazzola in the last one to help them lock it down against Belgium. So he got a few minutes, so he can maybe relax a little bit, get that out of the system. Secondly, he wants to get out of Chelsea. And there are a lot of Serie A clubs that are interested in bringing him home to Italy. I think he is going to make sure his game is ready to go. I think you're going to see an A game from Emerson, because there's a little bit of that desperation of, I need to get out of my current club situation and I need to play well in this game to make that happen. And if I can play well in a Euro semifinal, it's going to be very easy then for my agent to then shop me around to the clubs that I want to go to.
Yeah, good point. I think the other part as well is like, I think he wants to show Mancini why he probably deserves a starting lineup, right? It's
all there. It's all there for Emerson. I mean, he could come in and be the guy and then them not miss a beat and they go on to win the Euros. The guy's going to get signed by probably one of the top four or five clubs in Italy.
That's so true. Here's another one before we forget, because we've got other things to talk about, but before we forget, you cancel out, and this is not easy, you cancel out Sergio Busquets and you also, create now yourself a good moment for you. I mean, and this Italian midfield, oh my God. I mean, the fact that we were talking about if Verratti was going to start over other players, that's how deep they are. And Sergio Busquets is the absolute bridge between everything for Spain. If you can make it difficult for him, then maybe it's easier for Italy as well. How do you think that midfield battle is going to plan out?
I think it's going to probably determine the game. I did want to mention earlier that these goalkeepers are probably going to have a big influence as well. Donnarumma has been very solid. And Unai Simon, outside of that one mistake, he's been very good as well.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So what's interesting is that this team is almost like for like when we terms about in terms of roles. So you have Busquets in midfield, that is. Busquets, who comes in, he's the guy that everything's running through him, as you mentioned. But that's what Jorginho is doing for Italy. So you have these two guys that are deep-lying playmakers, really setting the pace, unlocking the teams as they transition from defense to attack, making those good, really simple passes that unlock everything, right? They make everything look easy. Yeah. Then you kind of got that hard worker, that young hard worker for Spain. That's Pedri, who has been a revelation for both Barcelona and Spain this whole year. Barella is the guy, I would say, who really had, I think, his best game so far against Belgium, of the tournament against Belgium. And then you got Verratti, who, I mean, as much as I love Koke, you know, Koke is a little bit more of a hard worker. He'll join the attack when he needs to, but ultimately he's just covering so much ground. So I almost feel like Spain feels a little bit more defensive, whereas Verratti and Barella, I think, are going to run off the shoulder of Jorginho a little bit more. These are really good matchups, though, if we look at it. So also, Immobile didn't score last game, but he famously fell down and acted like he was hurt while Barella scored and then got up to celebrate.
Tremendous. I mean, listen, De Niro.
Recovery, amazing.
De Niro
amazing.
And Raging Bull, Pacino and Dog Day Afternoon, Immobile in the game against Belgium. The three fantastic performances, I thought. I really fell for it.
I was in. Academy Award incoming. I'm looking at anytime goal scorers, and Chiro the Hero to score plus 200, I think, is pretty good value. Gonna get a look or two. Alvaro Morata, if you're buying into him, building off of his confidence, getting a goal against Croatia, plus 240 for him to score. And Insigne's plus 320 to score anytime. Ferran Torres plus 300. We talked about him. I would actually kind of maybe look at if Chiesa starts, which it looks like he might, plus 375 for him to score. Like one of those front three, Insigne, Chiesa, or Immobile is going to score. It's just a matter of which one you want to put your money on. But I wanted to show those values or share those values with you guys so you kind of knew. And then just to get to, this is where some tremendous value is. If you think Italy is going to win and both teams will score, plus 450.
Well, that's my 2-1.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah, that's my 2-1 really right there. So really you heard it here first, everybody. And remember what we always tell you. Probability, baby. Just keep thinking about the smart ones, the smart picks, and just, you know, make your choices. This is, you know, you can't complain. We gave you so much. All right. Hey, listen, Jimmy, I'm going to do a live read with you right now. Okay.
Ooh, I'm going to sip my soccer mom's rock.
Sip it.
Coffee mug tea. Yeah.
Love it. Sip it. I'm going to give you a better performance than Immobile right now. Okay. I'm going to give this read and then we'll do Copa America. But hey, everybody, I wanted to let you know about what's on CBS Sports HQ this week. As always, CBS Sports HQ is the network to start your sports news day at 8 a.m. Eastern with Morning Buzz, an hour of highlights, news, and all the days need to know. I'm always usually in that 8 a.m. Morning Buzz segment, Jimmy. And come back, Jimmy. You got to come back. Or you know what, Jimmy, you can leave CBS Sports HQ all day because at 6 p.m., where we break down all the night's action and release dozens of picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world, including yourself, Jimmy Conrad. So, you know, how to watch HQ? Well, I'm glad that you asked me subconsciously, Jimmy. Go to your Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, really most connected TVs, and look for that CBS Sports app. Fire it up and check out HQ, the only 24/7 free sports streaming network. Jimmy Conrad, how do you think about that?
I think that's amazing. And it's an honor to be a part of the CBS Sports HQ family.
Absolutely. You got to check out Jimmy because he gives you betting tips on HQ as well. So just have us all day, everybody. It's just too good. All right, let's move on, because if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that Jimmy's wearing Argentina and I'm wearing my beautiful, mi lindo Peru. And we're going to talk very quickly about the semifinals of Copa America. Let's begin. And I know you have bad news for me, but I don't care. I still believe Peru face Brazil. It's the repeat of the 2019 Copa America final. Peru beat Paraguay in that insane game.
Match of the tournament.
Just insane. It was just, if you wanted to Google or go on an encyclopedia and be like, what is South American football like? It will be a link to that match. It was absolutely insanity. And then on the other side, Brazil did their thing and beat Chile. Gabriel Jesus, by the way, if you haven't
fortunately beat Chile. Chile, yeah.
With 10 men, but there was also like a questionable, penalty call that obviously Brazil, obviously go to their favor, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, Peru-Brazil, and then we'll go into Argentina against Colombia. Talk to me about Peru-Brazil and the betting tips right there.
Okay, so really quick, they've already played each other, Brazil and Peru, in this tournament. How did that go?
Terrible. We lost 4-0.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then there was a World Cup qualifier that you guys played in October of 2020. I think Brazil scored 4 goals in that one as well.
And we were a little better in that game too.
You were, because you scored 2 on the flip side.
Yep.
It doesn't look good. And you guys lost Andre Carrillo because of a red card, which is unfortunate because he's been a catalyst for your attack. Now, as you mentioned, Brazil don't have any Gabriel Jesus, but what I really liked, and Neymar talked about it after the game, was that this team hadn't been pushed in that way, and yet they still found a result. I think they got pretty fortunate that they scored 2 minutes before the red card, so they were chasing it a little bit there. And Chile, obviously, in their desperation not to get eliminated, were really pushing forward and trying to make them see things happen. But like we just mentioned about Italy, Brazil didn't break. They bent, but they didn't break, and they got an all-important clean sheet. So I just feel like the loss of Andre Carrillo from Peru is a bigger loss than Gabriel Jesus, because now you can bring in a Vinicius Jr. When I look at this Brazil team on paper, dude, it's so dumb. It's not even...
No, it's just ridiculous.
It's crazy. Fabinho's not even starting. They're going with Casemiro and Fred as a double pivot. It's just... And they're just stacked. They're stacked in every position. And it's ridiculous. So I just think, given all the things that I said, I'm really looking hard, with all due respect to Peru, who do really well in this tournament, especially in recent years, recent iterations of the tournament. I just think it's going to be too much for them. They played a little bit more of a longer game, right? Went into penalties and more emotional. And I think at some point, it's hard to keep riding that luck in some ways. I'm going exact scores. That's where I'm going with. You said probability bets. I think this is where I'm going to go. 2-0. 2-0 is the favorite for Brazil to win, plus 380. 1-0 is plus 450. I might even throw that one out. Plus 3-0 is plus 500. So I might throw out the 1-0 because I just think there's going to be more goals than that. And throw in Brazil to win 3-1 exactly for plus 1,200. So you bet 10 bucks, you win 120, or 100 to win 1,200. There's also one more, though, that I think could materialize. Brazil winning both halves is plus 170. I just think this is going to be one-way traffic. I'm sorry. I know you're wearing your Peruvian kit and you're Peruvian, and I want to say otherwise, but this Brazil team is excellent.
I'm Peruvian, but I'm not stupid. All right. Listen, here's the thing. Okay. The 3-1, sadly, in my heart, that does it. Listen, we began this episode, by the way, Jimmy, with Gianluca Lapadula, the Peruvian Italian player who's been fantastic. He, by the way, Benevento got relegated. So we're talking about, this is also, you mentioned Emerson, right? And wanting to leave or whatever. Lapadula is probably in his head as well, from thinking about an audition for himself as clubs look around. So that 3-1 seems intriguing. Listen, I'm never going to say Brazil is going to win. I'm Peruvian. I want to go for it. But everything points to Brazil. As Jimmy mentioned, and as I have talked about Brazil, even before Copa America, you have everybody else in South America, and then you have like a 1300 story building, and then you have Brazil. Brazil are a cut above anybody else. They have a squad that's so good that Man City players are not even starting, right? Roberto Firmino can't get into this team, right? Coach Chiche has an identity with this team. They're so good. Neymar's playing very well. He's been doing some things in this in games that aren't just like out of this world. Unbelievable. It's very difficult to bet against them. I want to go for Peru, but listen to Jimmy on this one. And that's all I'm going to say for that. I'm not going to give Brazil anymore.
So one of my favorite things, William Hill completely agrees with you, by the way. That's so heavy. Brazil to win straight up is minus 450. You have to bet $450 to win 100. I mean, that's not even any fun. So I went to go find some of my favorite values, some of my favorite lines, exotics on William Hill about this game. And usually you can find, hey, a team's going to win and get the clean sheet, and it's usually a positive value. I go to this one, Brazil to win to nil or win with a clean sheet, minus 143. I was like, I've never seen that before. What the hell is even happening? But then, as I mentioned, their lineup is sick. They got Ederson in goal, Danilo, Marquinhos, Thiago Silva, Lodi, Casemiro, Fred, and then I think Vinicius will come in, Firmino, Richarlison, Neymar. That's the starting lineup that I expect. They got Alisson on the bench.
Douglas Luiz is on the bench. It's
Militao, Fabinho. Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh my, it's dumb.
When Gabriel Jesus got sent off,
the cheat code. Yeah.
When Gabriel Jesus got sent off, there were moments, major moments of the game where it didn't feel like they had 10 men. Like, that's how good they are. So anyway, so that's it. That's what you have. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Argentina against Colombia. By the way, Lionel Messi playing really well in this tournament, clearly with an objective here. He knows that everybody's talking about it. He's thinking about it himself. He hasn't won a major thing aside from the Olympics, if you want to count that. But like, he hasn't won anything. He needs to win this, right? And now they're facing a Colombian side. The heroics of David Ospina in that penalty shootout against Uruguay. So that bad, Colombia doesn't have James Rodriguez, no Quintero. Falcao's not a part of the project anymore. You know, what about our boy, John Square? What's he doing? But anyway, talk to me about this game, Argentina.
I love me some Juan Cuadrado. I find it surprising that Argentina haven't won the Copa America since 1993.
Yeah,
look at all the teams and all the players that they produce year in and year out. The fact that they haven't won it since 93 is a bit criminal in a lot of different ways. It would be the 15th time they've won it in their nation's history. So we'll see. As you mentioned with Messi, leads the whole tournament in goals and assists. The guy is absolutely crushing it, scoring in so many different ways. 4 goals, 4 assists in his 5 Copa America games. And what I find really fascinating about him is that we've seen it already in the Euros in particular, where Harry Kane was a little bit off. I'll use him as an example. It just felt like this off the field. Is he going to stay with Spurs? Is he not? Kind of rattled him a little bit. And then he finally scored and now he's relaxed. And now we're seeing a nice version of Harry Kane. Leo Messi has the same kind of issue. His contract's expired. You know, maybe he's at peace and he already knows what his decision's going to be. He's not going to announce it till after the tournament, but that's a lot of pressure on this guy. And he's just, it's water off his back, man. It's unbelievable. So it's hard again. This is another one that seems pretty straightforward. Colombia have only scored 3 goals in 5 games. But they do have that 2-2 result against Argentina World Cup qualifying right before the tournament started. Argentina were up 2-0 and Colombia came back and fought back to make it 2-2.
No Emiliano Martinez though, Jimmy Conrad.
That's true. I just feel like it's a possibility where Colombia can lean on that. Hey, we were down 2-0. We've hung with these guys before. And they've got Otamendi in the back. So you never know, right? And Otamendi, you always have a chance. You got the Atalanta duo, of course, with Luis Muriel and Duván Zapata. Muriel have not been as good, I think, as we expected him to be. A lot of Atalanta players are killing it in all tournaments this summer. But
and by the way, Argentina has only conceded 2 goals in this whole thing.
I know. You're right.
Armani was in goal for the Bolivia game. That was 4-1. And then Emilio Martinez for the Paraguay. Chile game, which is the opener. Aside from that, 3-0 against Ecuador, 1-0 against Paraguay, 1-0 against Uruguay. They're very good defensively.
Very good. You're right. Only giving up 2 goals in 5 games. So Argentina to win 2-0, just to keep that line going. Win with a clean sheet, plus 145. I would look at that. I could see a 1-0, 2-0. But there is a part of me that thinks that Colombia, when you have that last gasp of like, this is now or never, you have that urgency that only comes from our backs against the wall. If they scored, I wouldn't be surprised. And because Argentina's back line does have a history of making mistakes in big moments and big games, I think Argentina is going to win this. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to figure out how to shape the rest of my betting. So Argentina to win and both teams to score. If you think it'll be like a 2-1 or 3-1 plus 360. Odds boost. There's an odds boost on William Hill. I think everybody should consider it. Messi to score first, plus 350. It was at plus 240. Now it's at plus 350. Giving a little odds boost there.
That's very good.
They're baiting us. They're baiting us to do it. And I'm looking at it really, really hard. And then if you wanted to combine those two, Messi to score, Argentina to win, both teams to score is plus 600. That's called my Jimmy special. In the Champions League, I was hitting it quite a bit with Lukaku and Lewandowski. But I don't know if I've ever hit it with Messi, and this would be a good time to make that happen.
This would be a great time.
We have to decide is, or whether we can talk ourselves into it and whether we have enough belief in Colombia to make it happen. Do we think they'll score in this game? And if they do, then I think that's a good bet.
Well, I've already mentioned about the offensive threats that they don't have. So, you know, they have to go pretty gung-ho and, to your point, rely on previous games, especially in World Cup qualifiers. So everything is pointing, everybody, to a El Super Clásico of the Americas, right? The, you know, the classic, which is Brazil, Argentina in the final. But we've given you plenty of information. Plenty. I'm going to say in this game, Argentina, Colombia, just to finish everything off.
Do it.
I think defensively they're going to remain. I think it's going to be 2-0.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I have.
So Argentina to win 2-0 plus 145 is probably the way to go. I also want to just give a shout out to David Ospina in goal for Colombia. I think he's been pretty fantastic, made a lot of big saves so far.
Yep.
But they are struggling a little bit, moving the ball forward in a meaningful way, doing it consistently. Uruguay, who they played and beaten penalties, it was 0-0, but that Uruguay defense is pretty good. So I don't know. This is a tough one. Argentina is going to win. I think we can all see that. We all want Argentina to Brazil in the final. That would be next level.
Well, not we, Jimmy, not all of us.
That's true. 99% of us would like to see Argentina versus Brazil in the final. And only the Copa America and all the craziness and chaos that comes from that tournament would give us something different than that final. But we'll see. We'll see. I think that Argentina and Brazil will be there. And with all due respect to my Peruvian host here.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Unfortunately, Head is winning over Harden now. But Jimmy Conrad with the knowledge. And Jimmy will be back, by the way, when we recap Italy-Belgium on Tuesday. Final words, Jimmy, before we say goodbye. You gave us so much goodness, my man. What do you have to say to say goodbye?
I just have to say that it's Italy-Spain and not Italy-Belgium. But I would
say Italy-Belgium?
You did. It's fine, because I would like to see that game again. So if we could have back-to-back games of Italy-Belgium and Italy-Spain.
It's because Roberto Martinez is a CBS colleague. And I feel like it was in my contract to say them again.
I love that. No, I appreciate sharing this podcast and doing it with you and obviously with the audience. And enjoy the games. They're going to be next level. And I look forward to catching up after getting all the news and results. And we're going to get after it. Yeah, I'm just rambling at this point. You guys have a good rest of your day.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Jimmy. Hey, everybody. I want to thank Fabrizio Romano and Jimmy Conrad for joining today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, QueGolazoPod. We're also on YouTube, youtube.com/QueGolazo. Make sure that you subscribe and, of course, watch all the videos. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're on CBS Sports, your CBS Sports app as well. Have a great, great day. Enjoy this week of tremendous action, and we'll see you next time.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.